Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking out time from your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, April 8th, 2021, and I'm continuing my in-depth chronological study of the book of Revelation. This has been tremendous and exciting, informational, educational. Last week, I ended the program by going to Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the first seal by the Lamb unleashed the activity, the program, and the agenda of the Antichrist. This week, I'll be focusing in on today's program, on the program an agenda of the Antichrist in a chronological way. We're going to get a lot of information out to you, but it shows exactly what this deceiver, this man of sin, this son of perdition is like and what he tries to accomplish. But of course, in the end, Jesus returns with us, his saints, and with the spoken word annihilates the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they're thrown into the lake of fire. But what we're doing is going through the book of Revelation chronologically. So today, we're going back to Revelation chapter 6, just a bit of a review. John records, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." As I pointed out, this is not Jesus. This is the Antichrist. It is very clear because he has a bow and no arrows. And he is not a king in the rightful sense as Jesus is King of Kings. He is a false pseudo-Messiah. Antichrist means in place of, are opposed to Jesus. The Antichrist now will come on the scene as a man of peace. He is going to conquer and deceive many with peace. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25 makes it very clear, the Antichrist, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, or better said, shall deceive many. We hear so much of the New World Order, a coming age of peace, a coming age of great unity. And yet we can see from the biblical evidence that there is a man coming on the scene known as the Antichrist, who is a false Messiah. He's a Gentile from the Roman Empire. He will use his deception to conquer with peace. What is the first thing that the Antichrist does when he comes on the scene? Well, very clearly, his first task is to accomplish a confirmation with the Jewish people. He confirms a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. And once he does this, it's very clear that the clock begins ticking on the tribulation period. Now, notice something very clear here. Chapter 4, church age, came to an end. We Christians are raptured up to heaven to be with Christ. We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we are also facing judgment for our works in the judgment seat of Christ. The focus has now gone from the church to Israel. Very important distinguishing characteristic. Do not fall prey to the lie that the church replaced Israel. Replacement theology is absolutely false and very anti-Semitic. So at this point in biblical history, prophetic history, after the Antichrist is released, when the Lamb opens the first seal, he goes to Israel to confirm a 7-year peace treaty. Once that happens, the tribulation period begins. Let's read from Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. I might add, it goes on to say, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall he be one who makes desolate, speaking of that breaking of the treaty in the middle of the tribulation period. Daniel 9:27 is very pivotal for understanding all of Bible prophecy. He will confirm a covenant with many. This is not talking about anyone else but the Antichrist, not Jesus. This is the Antichrist because it is a temporary covenant. Christ is everlasting. This is a temporary false covenant. And for more information on this incredible prophecy, I highly recommend a very short study by Alva J. McLean, Daniel's Prophecy of the 70 Weeks. He clearly lays out how this verse I just quoted to you is very important and how it talks about this peace treaty with Israel done by the Antichrist. Now, speaking of peace treaties, there's a history of this with Israel. Back in 1979, we had Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, in the King David Accords with Jimmy Carter. Then we had the Oslo Accords in September 13th, 1993. That was President Clinton with Yasser Arafat, Yitzhak Rabin. And then following that, we had the Jordan-Israel Accord, October 26th, 1994, King Hussein from Egypt with Yitzhak Rabin. That was the first 3 peace treaty accords. Here recently, when Trump was president, we had the Abraham Accords. You know about this, where there is now normalizing of relations with Israel and her neighbors. These are trade agreements. The United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and the Morocco Treaty just recently on December 11, 2020. These are peace accords. Israel is at peace with her neighbors for the first time. This is an incredible breakthrough. But yet it really outlines the future for Israel and Bible prophecy when she is at peace with her neighbors. That's when the battle of Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog, will take place. But these peace accords have a history, as I mentioned to you. But one day, the Antichrist will come on the scene and confirm the peace treaty with Israel. They all failed, but this one will work, but just for 3.5 years. So we understand the first task of the Antichrist and what he does. The second task that he will accomplish is allowing the third temple in Jerusalem to be rebuilt. Now, you know, we have the Dome of the Rock, and that's really a difficult tightwalk rope right there. How will this happen? It has to be built at a certain location. But the Antichrist will allow the building of the third temple. We hear so much about the Jewish people, the plans for rebuilding the temple. Well, when the Antichrist comes on the scene and confirms this peace treaty and everything looks good, he will supervise, if you will, the allowing of the rebuilding of the third temple. But that's what he's busy doing. At the same time that this is going on, and everything looks ideal for the Jewish people in Israel, he is busy erecting a false church, and he's going to rule over it. And let's take a look at that false church. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's from Revelation chapter 17, where John has this incredible vision. He's carried away in the spirit into the wilderness. And John said, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The false church in Revelation 17 is going to be erected, if you will. It is on the city with the seven hills in Rome. And there, the false prophet will be busy promoting the Antichrist and all of his activities. This is a false church. This is a church that on the outside looks authentic. But remember what Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. How will you know them? By their fruits. So the Antichrist comes on the scene, ratifies, confirms this peace treaty with Israel and her neighbors. Then he sets up the instructions for the third temple to be rebuilt, but he's also busy erecting a false church. He's ruling over it. Now, one of the primary things that you read in Bible prophecy, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, is about the 10 toes of the statue that Daniel interpreted, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. These 10 toes represent 10 kingdoms. And as the Antichrist is busy with confirming the covenant, allowing the third temple to be rebuilt, organizing the false church, he's also organizing 10 kingdoms from the revived Roman Empire. Revelation chapter 17, verse 12 is very instructive. The Apostle John is being told, the 10 horns you saw, 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So the Antichrist is organizing these 10 kingdoms. He's going to rule over 3 of them by force, and the other 7 will follow him. What's very interesting is that every good Bible prophecy scholar admits in their study these 10 kingdoms really represent, in their opinion, and I agree, the European Union. It's in Europe. And because the Antichrist comes out of Europe, he's obviously a Gentile and not a Jew. That's where his lineage comes from. In this 10 kingdoms he's organizing, he is going to bring about a global economic revival. And this revival that he brings about comes on the heels of an economic global crash. So not only is he solving the problem with Israel and her neighbors and instructing the third temple to be rebuilt and organizing this false church, but he's busy showing the world what a great leader and orator he is, an economic genius. He's bringing about this economic revival, which in the end will create a cashless society. The reason why he's so successful is because the people are looking at him from the outside. They don't see the inside of his corrupt, deceitful heart. He is being energized and possessed by Satan. He is the beast out of the sea of humanity in Revelation chapter 13, we'll read later. And through this economic revival, this economic crash, he creates this revival. He's like Hitler. He brought Germany back to prosperity. Look at what I'm doing. Everyone flocked to the Führer. And they will do the same with the Antichrist because of the great revival he brings out of the crash and creating a cashless society. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25 says, and through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. His main rule during this first 3.5 years will be from the temple in Jerusalem. The Bible says in Daniel 8:25 that the Antichrist understands dark sentences. That's very interesting, which means that Satan will speak to him and possess him. So everything looks fine, right? We have the revived Roman Empire. We have the great economic revival. We have the Jews rebuilding their temple. We have the false church gaining popularity. But then, Revelation 13. Out of this great economic revival, the Antichrist will order the mark of the beast, which is a trading mark. We've heard so much about this on the right hand and forehand. One thing we know for sure, it's probably digital in many ways. But no one can buy or sell without first taking this mark. It has to be, in many ways, not only chip, but visible. And at this time, we have the mark of the beast that we have now chaos going on in Jerusalem. He commits what's called in the Bible the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist is now moving to his real plan. As a man of peace, he's now showing his true colors. And after that 3.5 years, he now commits the abomination of desolation. What is that? Very important scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He goes into the rebuilt temple and makes an open declaration that he is God. He desecrates the temple, the abomination of desolation. And when he does this, it is the Jewish people, especially one Jewish person, who decides we have to do away with this man. This man is evil, and he shoots him. However, Revelation 13, what does it say? He recovers from this deadly wound. The Antichrist miraculously recovers, which really is imitating the death and resurrection of Jesus. He pulls it off. How he does it, we don't know, but remember, he's energized by Satan and accompanied by the false prophet. So after he commits the abomination of desolation, what's his next step? After recovering from this deadly wound, the Bible says all of the world worshiped him, that he must be really God. But he is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a man of perdition. He's the son of perdition. It's at that time that the Antichrist leaves Jerusalem, and he sets up his headquarters now in the literal city of Babylon. This is a very political, economic city in Iraq. And it's from Babylon that the Antichrist begins his war against Jerusalem. You will find out a lot about this war and the armies that accompany the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 11. He will actually partner with one of the kings of the East. That's China. Revelation chapter 9 says that China has a 200 million man army, and their goal is to go up along with the Antichrist to attack Israel. So what he came on the scene with this wonderful peace treaty, confirming it. He came on as a man of sin who can solve all of the world's problems. He's got a church. He's helping the Jews rebuild their temple. But then the real face of the Antichrist is exposed. When he joins with the kings of the East to attack Jerusalem, it's at that time that Christ will return, Revelation 19. He returns with us, speaking the word. He annihilates the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they're thrown into the lake of fire. Satan is locked up in the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 20. We have gone over a lot of information here, but I want to try to boil this down for you because it's very important. The book of Revelation is a book that focuses on who Jesus is in all of his glory. The book of Revelation is not primarily about the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, the Battle of Armageddon. They are all features in the study of Revelation. But the focus is always on Jesus. And yet, in our study chronologically this morning, we have taken a very close up front look at the agenda and the program of the Antichrist. And what we have discovered is in all of his deception and evil, and in all of his trickery and craft, that in the end, God is in control of this planet. He is sovereign over everything that is happening, and he comes to rescue Israel in the very end and demolish the Antichrist. And what that says to you and me is we have a sovereign God over the devil, over the Antichrist, over all of the enemies of the church in Israel. And we see the triumph of Christ in the end. So although he's successful in the beginning, defeated in the end. And this has been a brief program agenda of what the Antichrist will do. We now need to turn our focus in our last minutes to the God of promise, who is always sovereign over us and protects us. Let's listen to the music of Elevation Worship. powerful worship music from Elevation Worship, God of the Promise. He is a God that is faithful and always keeps his promise. This morning, we've taken a very detailed but a quick look at the program and the agenda of the Antichrist, which will ultimately fail because Christ will come again with his bride, that's you and me, and will put an end to his reign, that he's a false Messiah. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. So we understand something about the problem of evil. Though it looks dark and dismal, God is in control of the evil. God will come and deal with the evil. He will come and wipe away the tears from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow or crying or death. That is the promise of our great God. And we also notice this morning, the Bible is very clear. It distinguishes between the church and Israel, because as we look specifically in our chronological study of Revelation, we notice where the church in the first three chapters went to heaven one day in the rapture. And then the focus of the book was to the Jewish people and to what was happening during the tribulation period. And we're going to be looking next week at the continuation of Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the next seal and what will happen next. So this is an exciting adventure. It's very educational for you. And through the chronological study, you are getting the very best look at the book of Revelation. I love verse by verse, but this chronological study opens up the whole panorama of the book of Revelation, and you understand it very, very clearly. So I'm very glad that you've taken some time this morning. Please take this, study it out, read the scripture references I gave you, and most importantly, share it with your friends. We need to reach out to the lost and the unchurched, because we don't know the day or the hour of Christ's return. He will come in a rapture. We don't know the signs for that because there are none. He comes. It's imminent. And so it's important for those that don't know Christ to know him. So use this information very skillfully. Reach out and talk to your unsaved, unchurched friends. Let them know what the Bible says about the future. This unique book paints the future, what's going to happen on this planet. So use this information skillfully, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Cross in the Desert. I want you to have an incredibly safe, happy weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on the next episode of the Cross in the Desert. God bless you.